Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forgiveness Radio. My name is Dr. Michael Bryce, and I assume Jeannie is having some technical difficulties, which is kind of part of life on the road at this point. But we're here, and we're delighted that you're here. And our work is the work of forgiveness. We had a really awesome show with some great questions and some really sweet people on it yesterday. And I welcome you, and let's see if Jeannie has joined us yet. Jeannie, are you with us? Okay, not yet, but we're working on it. So for those who are new to our show, our work is about the Aramaic idea of forgiveness, the idea of changing our internal terrain, the conditions inside of us through the ancient act of forgiveness. And forgiveness not being anything to do with letting other people off the hook for what's going on inside of us, but literally how we change what's going on inside of us. And so we're here to support you in that process. Mind Shifters Radio is all about shifting your mind. Actually, it's a process of conversion. And, you know, what we'll call the non-being mind has a cheap copy of everything that's real in the spiritual dimension. And the cheap copy of conversion is, I'm going to bring you into my church. The real conversion is when you begin to do the work that converts your mind from a fear and hostility-based device to a love-based device. Human life, I would offer, is designed to function through and be powered by the presence of love. We have an easy way to document that for you. All you have to do is hold a newborn child, and you know exactly what human life is about. We come into the world puts its thumbprints on us, and all of a sudden, love can become a difficult thing to find because we've lost our essence. And then people go on a search, and the search is looking for love in all the wrong places. If you're looking for love outside of you, I have a promise for you. You're never going to find it because it is not outside of you. It is what you are. What you're looking for is absolutely, literally, what is looking. You are the love that you're looking for. And as you allow yourself to come back into the experience of that, then more and more you begin to function as the conscious active presence of love. And we are here at Mind Shifters Radio. My name is Dr. Michael Rice to support you in that process. If you're new to the forgiveness process, you're certainly most welcome to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says Download Worksheets. You can also download the whole book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, free in any one of several languages. But under Download Worksheets, the first link is an explanation of the forgiveness process and how to do it. And the second link is for a copy of the actual, what we call the reality management worksheet process. It's the how-to of forgiveness from the Aramaic. And it's about how to go inside yourself, collapse anything to do with hostility or fear, and return to an actual human life, a life that's actually based in the presence of love. And so we're here to support you in that process. And I'm going to see if Jeannie is back with us yet. Jeannie, are you there?
I am. I have.
Can you hear me? Good.
I don't know what happened. It was like my phone wouldn't dial out. The switchboard wouldn't come on. It was like I was in some kind of a vortex here that wasn't cooperating with electronics. So I had to reboot both systems.
Well. That's life on the road sometimes. I heard another voice. Was that David or Tim?
That was Tim. Jeannie was texting me to say I should let you know she'll be on when she can get rebooted, but she's with us.
Awesome. Good morning, Dr. Tim. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed and highly favored and enjoying a nice intro back into the work world after 3 days off.
Awesome.
You were riding yesterday.
Where were you?
Yeah, well, there's a bike trail along the Fox River, and I spent a few hours on it yesterday afternoon. And
nice.
So I'm sorry I missed the phone call, but it was wonderful to be out and see all of the other happy families out there enjoying the sunshine.
Cool. Well, we had an interesting day yesterday, and the bottom line conclusion, we had several callers. Our conversation was mostly about, of course, Memorial Day and how to best memorialize those people who have given their lives in service to war. And the bottom line that came up in the conversation was that of handling and facing something in yourself based in hostility or fear that might produce war. And my offering is that everyone who functions out of hostility and fear creates a little more of the energy of war on the planet, whether it's interpersonal war, as we see so happen often in relationships, whether it's interracial war or intercommunity war or global war, whatever it is. If you listen to the speech, it's all based in hostility and fear. And there's a really wonderful scriptural statement about that, and it says, your words come from the abundance of your heart. And if your words are about hostility or fear, here's what we know. You're a participator in war. And out of the abundance of your heart, those words come. The Aramaic forgiveness process is about changing that which you have an abundance of in your heart and shifting it into words based in love. And as a result of yesterday's program, where I invited everybody and offered the thought that the best way we can honor those who've fallen and those who have been involved in that whole process of war is to handle the war inside ourselves, is to actually step into healing and the forgiveness process and change that dynamic inside of ourselves. And after I finished the show, as I was actually this morning, as I was breathing, doing some still point work, what came up for me was the idea of creating a Memorial Day challenge. So what we're going to do on the show is we're going to institute a new tradition, and that is we're going to start, this is going to be Memorial Day 2 challenge, and that is the challenge for you to handle something in your life today that's based in hostility or fear and clean it out. So every day from now on this show, I'm going to issue that challenge. Is there one thing, one person you've had a crossword with, yourself, perhaps the person in the mirror, a child, a parent, whoever, whatever, that there has been something less than love happening with and would contribute the energy to war? And so our challenge is, this is Memorial Day 2 of 2011. What are you willing to handle today and forgive in you that would remove words based in hostility or fear from you and bring you a little closer to a fully seasoned, experienced expression of a human life? So I'll see if that stirs up any comments or questions or thoughts as we enter that discussion.
It's a marvelous challenge.
Yeah, I think we'll carry that on a daily basis from now on. I think it's a way for people to look and go, you know, I complain about war, I don't want war, I hate paying the cost of war, but I continue doing war. And all you have to do is use words that reflect the energy of hostility or fear, and you're a supporter. So we're going to invite you to stop being a supporter and to start being a healer. What are you willing to face today that's going on in your world? And, of course, we already know that somebody else is to blame for it, that you're not the one who's to blame. We got that already. That's standard issue. That comes with the uniform called the body-mind unit in today's world. But I'll invite you to notice that if you've been through it 87 different times with 42 different people, you are the only one that was there every time. It's about you. What's going on inside of you? Are you willing to face and forgive what comes from your heart if you have an abundance of words based in hostility or fear. Are you willing to become one that makes the change? So, Jeannie, are there any comments in the chat room? Any questions? Anybody dialing in?
We have several people listening on the phone and a few in the chat room, but nobody's asking any questions. So.
Okay, cool. Fabulous. Well, Jeannie, what's your thought on that? I didn't talk about you with that with you this morning. We kind of had a busy morning, but do you have any thoughts to share on that challenge?
No, it sounds good.
Yeah, cool. Tim, you started to say something?
Yeah, did you have new people calling in yesterday? Was it stirring up new things or some of our old?
Well, actually, we had Dr. Andraki call in, and we were actually sitting on the side of the road as we had called you to see if you might be available to help handle the switchboard. We were driving into Pahrump, Nevada, and the car we were in broke down. So we were sitting on the side of the road, and so Dr. Andraki called in with the question, and Carol Guy, who is the person who set up Angel Talk Radio, the network that we're on Blog Talk. And so she did the switchboard for us, and she had some interesting comments to make on the process of war, too. And then David, being a Vietnam vet, shared some of his experience. He used to be part of a thing called Base Camp in Nashville, where they worked, I think, primarily with homeless vets and giving them services and support, health care and food and shelter and healing and process and such. So he shared a little bit about that, a little bit about his experience in Vietnam. And he had an interesting thought. David, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You are. Well, I was just going to share the thought you had that when you were asked, and maybe you just throw that out again briefly, when you were asked what was the greatest sacrifice, and I thought your answer was a very interesting one as compared to the traditional, you know, giving your life. Would you share that again with us?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going on with it. Yeah, one of the things that came to mind, this has been several years ago during an interview, was the, I ask, what was most people consider the greatest sacrifice a person can give, and they said to give their life. And I asked what would be the most thing, what would be the biggest sacrifice a person could do, and they kind of stalled about, you know, got quiet about it. And I said, well, I think it's to take someone else's life. I think to be asked to take someone else's life, to go against everything that's innately ingrained in everyone, to do that is, in a sense, a sacrifice, that the person's giving up their true part of their true essence of who it is that they are in order for, quote, a cause, unquote, or some significant reason. And so that's what we talked about. And I think your idea, Michael, pardon me?
Go ahead.
I think your idea about doing this Memorial Day each day, to do a Memorial Day, my thought was, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful? Because to me, if everyone would then agree to do, that's doing one worksheet. It's just to do one worksheet a day. And if everybody would do one worksheet a day, what a significant change that would make, because that's in essence is what it is to do a worksheet.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a good measuring stick for what would be actual human behavior, just to bounce off of that thought, David, and I thought that was so powerful when you said that yesterday. A good measuring stick for how to tell whether behavior is human or not is, if you were holding a newborn in your arms, would that newborn do the behavior you're thinking about doing right now? And if they wouldn't, then you don't have any business doing it. The only thing it can lead to is self-destruction. And when we move into self-destruction, when we move into hate and hostility, fear and rage, we take those poisons hoping they'll harm somebody else. And the only one that will be poisoned by will be harmed by the poisons you take will be you who takes them. And our culture hasn't taught us that hostility and fear are poisons that toxify ourselves, that change our chemistry, that destroy our physiology, as well as our mental and emotional capacities. And so we're here to restore that presence of human life in every mind, heart, and being. And, you know, there's a very powerful film that's set in a pretty horrendous war zone. And to have a model, and this man is one of my heroes, watch Mahatma Gandhi in the film Gandhi, and how there's a really powerful line in one scenario. The Brits have passed a new law in India to control the Indians, and this law is one that says that they can walk into any Indian home anytime they want with no warrants or anything else. But it's kind of one of the things the British got kicked out of America for. And what happened in the crowd when somebody said that it happened, it was a gathering of these folks. Pardon me, this was in South Africa. And one of the gentlemen gets up in a rage, and he says, the man who would dare to violate my home and violate my wife, I will kill him. And Gandhi very powerfully says, this is a cause in which I am willing to die, but there is no cause for which I'm willing to take another's life. No cause. If we had human life on planet Earth, there would never be a cause to take another human life. Gandhi opened a space on the planet for something that had not been seen before. The British had basically ruled the world in vicious, vile, horrendous, horrific, I can't think of enough words, ways. What they did to the indigenous people wherever they went, the slaughter, the wholesale slaughter, the destruction of their family systems, their homes, their cultural ways, using religion to destroy their cultures is nothing short of, and I maybe should do some worksheets on how disgusted I am about it, because it is disgusting what was done. And Gandhi stood in the face of that as a human being. He didn't buy it. In fact, he pointed out to those who wanted to go ahead and make war with the British, they're 1,000 times more powerful than you are. You'll just give them the excuse to carry on with what they're doing. But if we take their blows and we refuse to strike back, they will sooner or later see the insanity of what they're doing. And this is not an easy path to tread, but it is the path to a human life, where there is not the active presence of love, and I mean felt in the cellular structure of our bodies, there is not human life. So we're here to invite everybody. You know, this man Yeshua 2,000 years ago had a pretty heavy-duty call. He was calling people out of the same insanity that Gandhi was calling people out of, and he said, here's how you have to live. You have to live as the presence of love. When you think of or in the presence of the Creator, when you think of or are in the presence of a neighbor, when you think of yourself. And that's a huge call when you look at the kinds of rage and fears and griefs that are going on in our culture. Memorial Day Challenge, Memorial Day 2, 2011. Are you willing to handle one issue in your life that contributes to the energy of war? Together, we can change this planet. Tim, you had a thought you started to express there a moment ago?
Well, I was doing some of the work from last week, and you'd given me a mind shifter.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that I don't know whether it was the second or third session I was doing with it this morning. And near the end, I finally, there have been a few little connections and realizations, but mind shifters for me often end up being very emotional, a lot of tears, But this one I ended up finally writing about the eighth or ninth page, something to the effect of, I wonder what's hidden under here that makes this so difficult for me. This is the, this mind shifter is so tough. I must be blocking something that I have a great fear about. So I was just getting lots of little flashes of different events in the past that were conflict related. The mind shifter was, it's safe and healing for me, and I love to be in the middle of other people's conflicts. So
mind shifters are such fun, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're usually very productive. And I have no doubt that if I stick with this one, it'll end up being even more productive. Up until this point, I really... It keeps coming back to the one of those first memories of conflict that I had where I was feeling very... I don't know if I shared this with you, but at the time that this first memory of conflict happened, it was that I witnessed my mother getting angry at my father and the next-door neighbor who wanted to borrow beer from my father. And the next-door neighbor was a very large man. And well, at the time that that happened, I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I had just had a traumatic experience. I had been running down the pier at the lake with a kind of a hula hoop thing, only it was metal, not the plastic, around my waist, and it caught on the pier pole and launched me off the pier into the water and knocked the wind out of me and got me all soaking wet. And everybody thought it was hysterically funny, except for me, as that 7-year-old who was traumatized and scared and thought I was going to die and couldn't catch my breath. And so,
and everybody just added insult to injury on an energetic level.
I'm sorry, say that again, Michael.
I say, and everybody who laughed just added insult to energy on an energetic level. A young man of 7 usually is pretty tender in terms of his development, and to be centered out like that and have people laughing at them just intensifies the energy of that trauma.
Yeah, so throughout the course of, when I first started the mind shifter, and each time in the past when I've thought about this original episode of conflict, I hadn't remembered that it had happened right after that trauma. But as I was doing the mind shifter, that piece came up. And it came up even more strongly because here was my mother, who was very loving and very nurturing and supportive, but she couldn't stop from laughing either. I must have been quite the sight. And so I remember getting angry at her because she was laughing. And I remember her trying to curb her laughing and say, well, I'm not laughing at you. You know, it was just kind of funny the way it happened, and you're going to be all right. And so she was trying to be supportive, but at the same time she was, you know, it was hysterically funny to everybody but me. And so then I had a thought, and there's a worksheet that I listed that I need to do, because several pages later when I came back to it, what I wrote was, so maybe I was hurt and angry at my mom, and maybe I still carry a grudge at her for laughing at me, and I have not dismantled that set of false realities. So there's a worksheet for me in this. And I came to that because I just kept thinking, you know, all these people, when they're having these conflicts at each other, one of the reasons it's uncomfortable for me to be in the middle of them is that they don't go anywhere. They never get resolved. People keep carrying grudges. And so then I thought, well, maybe I still have a grudge I'm carrying, and maybe it's one of them might be at my mother, who was generally so loving and supportive, and yet here she was laughing at me. So anyway, I'm digging stuff up. I'm working on it, and I have a couple of worksheets that I will do based on what's come up from the Mind Shifter so far. And I intend to do my part to dismantle that false reality that there's anything to be afraid of when other people are having conflicts. And I thank you again for the Mind Shifter.
Cool. Delighted. One of the things that stands out as you speak about it, and I haven't heard you speak directly to it, but it may be something to look at on another level, is that your upset in that situation was over your mom's anger. And that anger at her was fresh from her laughing at you, that whole scenario. Then it just smoothly moved into mom's anger, and perhaps there might be some projection that the anger resonating in your brain cells at 7 toward mom for laughing at you perhaps contributed to a projection that made her anger larger than it really was, if it was even there.
Well, that's something to look at. I also thought that I was so angry at her for laughing at me, and that seemed safe enough when she was laughing and trying to calm herself down and trying to comfort me. But minutes later, when it turned into her having this, what I would interpret as rage toward my father and this other man, all of a sudden it didn't seem so safe to be angry at her.
Right. Sounds like a good breath session.
Yep. Yep. We'll see what we can do.
Unwind all those tentacles. And for those who are new to it, I want to acknowledge Dr. Tim for having the courage to bring forward his process. And this is the process of healing. It's not always Dr. Feelgood. It means we get to look at old energies that are locked in. The search, however, is not to look for the old energy. The search is to live as the presence of love 24/7, 365. And if we lose that ability, then to be able to tap back into the love that we are and remove that which is unlike love. So it's not a matter of looking for the deep, dark thing that happened in your past. It's a matter of living now in the presence of love. And if something less than that comes up, the willingness to forgive, to let loose of, and to let go of whatever that something is. And if it comes from some deep, dark thing that happened in your past, bang, there it'll be in your face. Nice work, Dr. Tim. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. Thanks, and thanks for the reminder. I think a lot of people shy away from this because it looks too negative, but it really is just trying to go to get back in touch with my source is love, and understand that anything that prevents me from doing that is unwittingly my own creation. And because I've created it, I can dismantle it.
Exactly. I had a conversation with a physician's assistant last week, and we were talking about processing things, et cetera, and what was carried from the past. And his question was kind of, well, why would I want to do that? You know, I've always put that behind me. That's got nothing to do with my life now. I was like, well, why don't you just start taking a look? And about a week later, we were standing in the parking lot of the medical center, and he's like, oh, my God, I didn't realize how much of an impact my relationship with my father's had on my whole life. And, you know, this man's in his, I guess, probably mid-50s, late-50s, maybe early-60s. And realizing for the first time in his life that much of his life is still being run by dear old dad. And those codependence dynamics, if you weren't with us over the last couple of weeks, you know, go back into the archives, and I guess it's getting on to about 3 weeks ago now, we started a series on codependence to interdependence, and we started out laying out the principles of the codependence work that we do, and then we went into interdependence, the 12 steps of interdependence. So you might want to check out those archives, give them a listen. You might find them useful in understanding the codependence process. And, of course, we define codependence as blaming somebody else for the output of our minds. and our whole language is basically expressed through codependent language. You know, when was the last time you heard somebody say, gee, when this and such and no and that and this and them happened, I really had a lot of upset come up, and I realized I need to deal with my upset. Now, when this, that, or the other happens, virtually every person on the planet uses the language, that really upset me, that really made me afraid, that really frightened me, that really, that, like there's some power outside of us that does it to us. And of course, as long as we hold that as a belief, our mind will show us that that's true, but it's never true. It's always a condition inside of you that if you choose to use the tools, you can address and change and make the difference. And we're here to support you making a difference. Actually, there's a poem at the end of my book, and of course you can download it on the website. It's called Will You Make the Difference? And I think I can recite it from memory. It says, tell me the weight of a snowflake, a hawk asked a wild dove. Nothing more than nothing was the answer. In that case, the hawk said, I must tell you a marvelous story. I was sitting on the branch of a fir when it began to snow. Since I had nothing better to do, I began to count the snowflakes, nothing more than nothing, that landed on the branch. The number was 3,942,714. When the next snowflake, nothing more than nothing, as you say, fell on the branch, and the branch broke off. The hawk, having shared his story, flew away. The dove pondered for a moment and said, perhaps only one person's voice is missing for peace to come about in the world. Will you be that voice? Will you make the difference? And, of course, you could substitute, as opposed to peace to come about in the world, peace to come about in my own body, in my own heart, in my own emotions, in my own mind, peace to come about in my relationship with blank, peace to come about in my relationship with my family, my employer, my neighbor. Will you make the difference? And fortunately, we can make a difference when we have the tools with which to address and heal those things which are unlike love. We're here to support you in that. Jeannie, do we have any callers? Any conversation going on in the chat room that we should know about?
No, there's several people just listening on the phone. In the chat room, I've said welcome to everybody and haven't even had anybody say welcome back to me, so they're all being real quiet.
Oh, okay.
Call-in number is 646-200-4169.
Yes, if you have a comment or a question, please call, and when the line kicks in, you'll be able to hear the show on the air or on your phone, and then to make a comment, you just push 1 on your phone. And when you push 1, that will put you in a queue, and Jeannie will invite you to make your comment or your question. And, of course, I find the show always gets more interesting when we have real live commentary, real live issues, and things that people are searching for answers to. And we're here to supply the tools that come out of the Aramaic and the how-to of changing the dynamics inside yourself to those based in love.
Michael, why don't you mention where you're going to be in Oregon?
Well, that's a good idea because we're going to be in Oregon soon. That's true. We're actually in Pahrump, Nevada right now, sitting outside of a medical center waiting to pick up a medical doctor friend, Dr. Andraki, that was on the show with us last week. And we're actually heading out to see the to have lunch with the drug court judge here in Pahrump. We're working on getting a program set up to work with drug and alcohol problems in the city and see if we can bring about a shift, working on doing a research project. But we're here until the 9th of June, and then on the 9th of June, we're heading off to where are we going? Where in Oregon?
Medford.
Ashland, Oregon. We'll actually be at Unity in, let's see, what's the town just up from Ashland?
We're flying into Medford.
Medford, Unity of Medford. They're going to be doing 10 days of free workshops. We'll also be doing one paid workshop of Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. I did send an email to your friend yesterday. Hopefully I can get in touch with him while we're up there and we'll get to spend some time. So we're going to be starting on the 12th of June at Unity of Medford with Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then we'll be doing, let's see, that'll be Sunday the 12th. Then we'll do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then all day Saturday, that'll be the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. And then Sunday we're going to do Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Again. We're actually going to be speaking at Unity of Ashland. And then we'll be back at Medford that Sunday afternoon with Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then doing another series of free workshops Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Before, on Thursday, we get on a plane and fly to Hallandale. Actually, we'll fly into Fort Lauderdale, but we're keynoting an alternative medical conference at a center down in Hallandale Beach, Florida, toward the end of the month. And then we'll be heading to Heartland to begin our summer season there, where we'll start on the 18th of July with Why Is This Happening to Me Again? 9-day intensive. Then that will turn into teacher's training. It will be a 17-day for those who might want to do teacher training. It will be a 17-day intensive. Then we'll move into Laws of Living, 16-day intensive, a 9-day Course in Miracles, and a 9-day Intuitive Development. So that's what our schedule is looking like through the summer, and then we'll be heading off to Europe, to Italy, do some work there. Back to Florida. So lots on our plate, lots happening. Lots happening. The work is moving very widely. Go ahead.
I said that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It's awesome. One of the
Michael,
most awesome things. Yes, sweetie.
We have a hand up in the
oh,
switchboard.
Cool.
Area
fabulous.
Code. Okay. Area code 607. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
It's Richard from Mythica, New York. How's it going?
Hi.
Hey, how are you, young man?
I'm doing fine. So I was on the road again here. I just pulled off and decided to call and talk a little bit. Certainly I have an issue that's been going on for me. I happen to be the treasurer for an association, and they just redid their website. And there was something that was supposed to get done, and it was sort of one of the issues that triggered the whole thing of redoing the website to begin with. And somehow in the management and or whatnot, it got left out. So I'm the treasurer. I'm finding out that now that they're going to want, the company wants $400 to put this into our website now. And we had just got done spending about one third more than what we had initially devoted to this project. And so at this point, it triggered me. I was upset. It was like, okay, who missed this? Why didn't it get done? It should have been done. It should have been part of the project. And, of course, I was obviously in the blame game at this point.
Fine.
And it ended up calling the president of the organization and talking to him. And we got into an argument. And so here we were again. I was, blaming him for doing some things that resulted in this being not happening. And so anyway, I'm realizing that here I am, it caught in my own crap again, just like you said.
How like us humans.
Like everybody, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm in the process of trying to do a lot of forgiveness on this issue, certainly, realizing that my anger that's triggering all this and you know, trying to deal with it. You know, it's like when the thoughts come up about the conversation or whatever, dealing with all the things that were said and doing worksheets on them and things like that. So certainly right
well,
now, one of the things that things that I'm doing at this point is when the thought comes up about the issue, I'm sort of taking the approach of the guy in Tokyo, you know, the guy that does the water stuff.
Okay.
I forget his name. And basically saying, I'm sorry, I love you. I'm just trying to, or I guess that's the Ho'oponopono description, you know. Just as soon as that thought comes up now, I'm just trying to say, I'm sorry, I love you, you know, and let it go. Oh, that's my approach at this point, because I'm obviously stuck in the crap.
Are you open to some coaching?
Sure.
Cool. All right. So the first thing, you haven't sat in a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop live yet. Maybe you've watched the video, I don't know. But one of the questions Jeannie asks when she opens that workshop is, how many have ever done something they regret? And she'll ask people to think about one particular incident where they did something they regretted, and what were they feeling that motivated them to do what it was they regretted. And then she'll make a list on the board of all the words that people use. And 100% of the time, in 100% of the cultures, anywhere on the planet we go, the answer is always some variation on the theme of hostility or fear. If we take a fear-based mind to a meeting, we just made sure that our mind would distort and tend to undermine that meeting. So the first order of business I would offer would be to be willing to drop the hostility and the search for who's to blame. And you might want to look, you know, in the context of our last couple of weeks, codependence to interdependence work that we've been doing, as to look at how your power person responded when something wasn't going his way. I could just about guarantee that what he did, look for somebody to blame. And maybe Richie was the one. Is any accuracy in that?
Yeah, very much.
So you repeated the pattern of your power person. Stress is up, chips are down. What I'll tend to do is what my power person did to me that I hated the most. So the first order of business is to stop and recognize I'm stuck in that pattern. And if I were to write out on a piece of paper, Dad, and what he did when this happened, and then I wrote my advice to him, what would it be? If you were to think about Dad and he's, you know, on your back and wanting to blame you for his upset, what would your advice to him be, Richard?
It turns out it wasn't my dad. It was another person in my life recently that was sort of supervisor, power person type thing. And
okay.
Realizing that I'm responding the same way he was and creating the same rejection, so to speak.
Right. So what would your advice to him be? What would your advice to him be?
Forgive me. Learn to forgive
me. Okay. So then I would offer that when you follow that advice before you go into a meeting such as this one and you forgive. Now, we're not going to suggest that he forgive you or you forgive him or you forgive anybody. We're going to suggest that with forgiveness you can go inside yourself and collapse the part of you that does what he did. So forgiveness, and you know, when we talk about I forgive you, there's a major error there, and the major error is I let you off the hook for what's going on inside of me doesn't change what's happening inside of me. In Aramaic, there's a tool to collapse the projection that it's about somebody else, and I get to remove my hostility. And so as I forgive in regard to that situation, I collapse the insane mind hostility, because what will always happen when the hostility filter is the active filter in your mind is that your mind will always select data that's based in irritation toward the object of attention. And if you walk into a meeting in irritation, your words are going to tend to trigger similar words in someone else. And rather than resolution, what will tend to unfold is blame and vengeance.
Exactly.
Well, and then rather than I'm sorry, because when I say I'm sorry to somebody, what I do, now, of course, you are just doing that inside, this inside yourself, so the dynamic is just one-sided. But if I go to somebody and say, you know, and I'm really sorry I did this, what I've just done is I've gotten their creative faculties focused on what I did and mine. And I'm going to tend to do more of the same. What we suggest in this work that you do as an alternative to I'm sorry is an apology, owning, you know, I really made a mistake here and I apologize, and then fill the space with what you're going to do instead. You know, what would you have wanted this this person whose behavior you copied to have done when there was a conflicting situation? To fill the space with love or to play out of the find somebody to blame game? So as you focus on and speak your apology and you focus two minds on what you're going to do now, then the tendency is, having two minds focused there, to be a whole lot easier to create what it is you want to create instead of what you're sorry about. So you've created a platform for support for moving forward. And to be the space of love in that space, you know, if you look at the genius of what was called the first law, it's got nothing to do with theology, the genius of it is when you hear it said the first law is love God, love neighbor, love self. The word there is rachma, and it's actually a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that allows the brain to only use data keyed to love instead of data based in hostility or fear. And so as I choose to be love in that space, all of a sudden I come forward with a whole different mind, a whole different intelligence, and a whole different possibility of resolution. And in that light, the blame game, finding somebody whose head I can cut off for their mistake, tends to just kind of fade and disappear, and we start looking at, okay, here's where we are. Instead of assigning blame and finding somebody that we can point the finger at, let's move forward in healing. You know, we are where we are. What's done is done. I can come at it with hostility or fear, or I can come at it with love. And as I come at it with love, I enter into a different world in my own mind and in the relationships that I have around me. And I've become a contributor to healing in the world. I don't know, were you on the early part of the show, Richard?
No, unfortunately, I was in an area where I couldn't, I didn't have service. I was driving, I'm driving back to New York from being at family over the weekend. So I just picked it up about 15 minutes ago before I called, so, or before I jumped on the line. I wanted to sit and listen to see what the general train of thought was before I got jumped on the line and talked.
Perfect. But our starting point was actually based on yesterday's show, and I've instituted a new tradition with our show on a daily basis. And yesterday was Memorial Day 1, and today is Memorial Day 2. And our invitation was for each person who listens to the show to actually give a gift to those who have gone before us and sacrificed their lives or perhaps their sanity to war, that we will, on a daily basis, step into dealing with one issue in our lives that could contribute to the energy of war. And so you've just tapped right in, and that's awesome that you're willing to do that.
Yes.
We're going to begin this tradition, and so this is Memorial Day 2. Tomorrow will be 3, and we're just going to carry that forward with inviting people to take one issue today that I'm willing to soften my heart on and heal. Make a change.
Great.
So thank you for being willing to do that and being part of it. It's awesome.
I just have another thing to comment on. I was at my sister's place, and she obviously was in in some pain and wanted me to work with her. And obviously, I do some body work type stuff. And so I did some work with her last night and was a lot better. And she, this morning she got up and she said she had this dream. She was dreaming our mother was in an old house and it was, the ceilings were crumbling in and stuff like that. And she wasn't willing to stay in the new house that the family had built for her. And I thought about it a little bit. And then when she came back, I said, well, look at it this way. I said, maybe that was your body talking to you. You're in a new house. Are you willing to start in the new house or stay or go back to the old house that's crumbling down? So that was sort of how I reinterpreted her dream for her, because some of the work I did was structural work with her. And so it was interesting that she had that dream last night.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Powerful.
Awesome.
So definitely sounds on track.
That was my opinion. That was exactly what my thought was. Oh, she was, her body was talking to her. Are you going to, so I had the recommendation to her. I said, so now, today, all day long, ask yourself whether you're going to stay in the new house or return to the old broken down house.
Awesome input. Sounds right on
top. So, I got to jump off the phone and get on my way, so I'll talk to you guys in the future. Blessings to you, and I'm hoping to make your workshop in July. I will see about getting the money to you soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we look forward to seeing you. Travel safely. Have a great weekend with the family.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We had another caller, area code 804, but then they disappeared off the line. So if you're still listening and you still have a call, we have 7 minutes left. They're back on. So hold just a moment. Area code 804, you're on the air. Who do we have?
Good morning, folks. This is your number one fan, Edward Brown, who has an area code of Richmond, Virginia, but living in Las Vegas. And I've had the opportunity to be exposed to Dr. Rice's work and Jeannie's charm and her intensity of healing. And how are you folks today?
We are blessed and highly favored. Doing well, Edward. How about you?
Well, my life has changed drastically, having been exposed to your work. And one of the things I'd like to address is this concept of forgiveness. And your previous call-in, the gentleman happened to be referring to a gentleman, Dr. Hugh Lin, that's from Hawaii, not from Tokyo. But anyway, I think that this is one of the things that is so hard to grasp, is the fact that if I don't want to forgive the other person, but then something says I need to forgive myself, and I've already learned from your workshop, is that the shift takes place. I'm getting to feel almost like there's nothing to forgive. It's that my stuff, which is from the past, that the people that I feel like I want to forgive, they're not even relevant in my life anymore, because when I do follow the technique of collapsing, it feels like the shift is that everything was okay to begin with, that I already am divine love, and I just need to focus on who I am and not be concerned about what I want from other people. And that's where
I would say you're right on there, Edward. You got it.
I'm sorry?
I say you're right on. You've got it. And that's why we talk about the Greek idea of forgiveness. I'm going to let them off the hook for what's happening inside of me, whereas the Aramaic idea of forgiveness is I'm going to go inside of me and collapse this hostility and fear-based mind and return to sanity, return to a human life. So I'd say you've got it right on track. And the canceling of the goal is how you change that internal dynamic, as opposed to what the culture's taught us is just let them off the hook, which, of course, leads us back into the same old game again.
Well, thank you for giving me this clarity. Honestly, Dr. Rice and Jeannie, you all have caused a major change in my acceptance of self. That's the important thing that's occurred in my life. and following your technology or your methodology, you all are just so advanced. You're so far ahead of all these other concepts. It's like I feel like I'm coming down from another planet to be exposed to the magnificent insight that you, Dr. Rice and Jeannie, have. So I just want to thank you folks so much for bringing this clarification in my life and my deeper understanding of who I am.
Awesome. Cool. Well, I'm delighted to be on your team and we'll have you on ours, and we'll be in touch when we get into Las Vegas. Hopefully later today or tomorrow we'll be back there.
Great.
And we'll
looking forward to seeing you. Have a safe trip and an extended happy Memorial Day to both of you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. Love you all. Bye-bye now.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
And let me just add one more piece to the puzzle where, Edward, you want to acknowledge me for it. I wish I had been genius enough to figure out how it worked. It wasn't my mind that did that. It was a man 2,000 years ago named Yeshua who understood exactly the dynamics of this human energy field of healing, of health and disease, of forgiveness. And I've had the privilege of getting to decode some of his work from the original Aramaic. If you want to jump on our website, that's something else you can look at if you're new to the show. There's a manuscript called the Kabbalist Manuscript. You can see pictures of it. It's a copy of the oldest known New Testament in Aramaic. And everything that we're talking about comes out of that text and the work that we've done with and around that text for the internal process of healing. And in that text, what you find is a methodology for doing things that, as Edward said, there just isn't much else around. There are lots of nice philosophies, lots of people talking great stories, but how do you do it? There is a step-by-step technology from the Aramaic called forgiveness that shows you exactly what the circumstance is. It really doesn't matter. Whatever the circumstances you're facing, if you will engage in the collapsing of the perceptions that your mind is feeding you that are based in hostility or fear, you can enter into and live in a whole different world. And that is a world that that supports your human life, the active presence of love. And then once you get a hold of that, you're reluctant to give it up. It simply comes down to, thanks, but I think I'll keep my human life. And so we're here to support you in that. Mindshifters Radio, our call-in number, jot it down for tomorrow if you have a question or a thought. We're down to about a minute and a half. Our number is 646-200-4169. Take a look at our website, download the worksheet, download the instructions for the worksheet. Come and see us in Medford, Oregon, beginning on the 12th of June. Come and see us in Hallandale Beach, Florida, end of June. Come and join us at Heartland for an intensive. We'll begin on July the 18th with a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? A 9-day teacher training. We'll go into a 16-day Laws of Living. So take a look at our calendar. Come and play. We'd be delighted to share some time with you. And we're certainly honored and privileged to be able to have you listening on our show and being part of what we're doing. Remember our challenge? Memorial Day 2. Forgive one thing, one issue that we contribute to war on the planet, and we'll really be memorializing those who've given their lives. We hold the space that you're ready for the next, for the best year yet of your eternal life, and we're here to support it in you, with you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Have a blessed day. Talk to you tomorrow.